right. Hey, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Here I am, your host, Mac, in the studio, me in my Victrola 14. Here to play you records, to play you shellac discs. 78, that is. We started off with a tune called Hello, Hello. Suitable, right? It was by Wilbur Sweatman's original jazz band on the Columbia label from 1919. Oh, let's jump right into our next record. A bunch to get to tonight. Variety of jazz and blues, instrumentalists, some talking, some jokes, and some dancing music. Like this one from Joseph C. Smith's orchestra on the Victor label from 1919. This is called Mickey.
Mickey.
I guess that really wasn't a dancing record, was it? You know, the thing is, I'm really not previewing records before I do my show, generally. I'm going by memory. And, you know, your memory of thousands and thousands and thousands of records cannot be perfect all the time, frankly. And, I had that in, for some reason, among the records in my band section, and it was as a dance song, but it really wasn't. It was a singer singing a song. Yeah. Who was the singer on that one? Did they tell us? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It just says vocal refrain. Could have been Henry Burr. I'm not really sure. Anyways, one of the big popular songs of the 20s, one of the signature songs, was Whispering by Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. Huge song for him, but there were lyrics to it. Paul Whiteman's was instrumental, as most of his tunes were. So here is a vocal version of the song by Mr. John Steele from 1920. Good to hear that song with the lyrics. I've heard it before, performed live, not by Paul Whiteman, but with the lyrics. And it's nice to hear it on the record. Moving on now to one of the most popular artists of the acoustic era, Mr. Billy Murray, sometimes known as that Denver Nightingale. We're going to hear now from him on a record from 1913. It's easy to play 100-plus-year-old records these days. And this is Billy singing about that naughty melody. Let's see just how naughty it is. Thank you.
the night before. I heard a noise and said, who is it? Some melody paid me a visit. I said, now don't get dazed. What will the neighbors say? I tried my best to act real haughty. See, but that melody was naughty. Play me that naughty melody. It's appealing to me. Has me up in a tree. When I'm awake or sleeping, that melody comes creeping into my room and says, I'm here, baby dear, look who's here. I only heard it once or twice. Gee, it's awfully nice, and it seems to entice me. It always makes me feel so funny, sick like a friend who has no money. Wonderful train, that naughty melody. After the lights are low, right to my bed I go. Sometimes the pale moonbeams are gleaming. Sometimes I think that I am dreaming. That naughty melody comes in and sings to me. Just like a lover so devoted, every note is sugar-coated. Play me that naughty melody. It's appealing to me. Has me up in a tree. Oh, gee. When I'm awake or sleeping, that melody comes creeping into my room and says, I'm here, baby dear, look who's here. I only heard it once or twice. Gee, it's awfully nice, and it seems to entice me. It always makes me act so funny, sick like a friend who has no money. Wonderful train, that naughty melody.
Oh yes, that naughty melody gets him in trouble, right? Ragtime will get you in trouble. Well, it used to, at least. I don't know about today. I don't know. It's more accepted today than it has been. So let's leave it at that. Okay, moving on to another iconic performer of the acoustic era. 100 years ago, Uncle Josh was known far and wide. That's right, that country bumpkin, oft confounded by modern conveniences and machines and thing, all sorts of things. He was just a country bumpkin. And when he'd get out there and mix it up with stuff, you never knew what he was going to come up with or say about it. Always played by Cal Stewart. Many records as Cal Stewart in the same character. So we're going to hear one now from 1908. And let's listen to Uncle Josh at the Circus.
Circus come to Pumpkin Center. They come parading into town. Bands are playing, banners are flying, animals poking their heads out of the cages. And I said to Ezra Hawkins, Ezra, let's you and me go down to the circus. He said, all right, Joshua. Well, We got on our store clothes, our new boots, put some money in our pockets, and went down to the circus. And I never seen anybody in my life cut up any more fool capers than Ezra Hoskins did. All at once he said to me, "Gee whiz, Joyce, there's Steve Jenkins right over there in one of them cages." I said, "Oh, go along. You silly old fool, that ain't Steve Jenkins." He said, "Well, now, guess I ought to know Steve Jenkins when I see him. I put in here, Ray, Steve." Well, we went over to the cage and want no man at all. Nothing, only a darned old baboon. Ezra says, "Well, I never see a critter in my life look more like Steve Jenkins than that feller does." Well, we went on in to while they was having the circus and got sat down, and I guess us two old codgers just about busted our buttons laughing at that silly old clown. He told a lot of silly jokes. He told the ringmaster that his uncle committed suicide different than any other man ever committed suicide. And ringmaster said to him, "Well, sir, how did your uncle commit suicide?" And that silly old clown said, "Why, he put his nose in his ear and blowed his head off." Then he sung an old-fashioned song I hadn't heard in a long time. Went something like this. "From Whittletown to Waddletown is 15 miles. From Waddletown to Whittletown is 15 miles. From Whittletown to Waddletown, from Waddletown to Whittletown, Waddle back to Whittletown is 15 miles." Well, I noticed a fella rummaging around among the sawdust as though he might have lost something. I went up to him. I said, "Mister, did you lose anything?" He said, "Yes, sir. I lost $10 bill, and if you find it, I'll give you $2. While I commenced to help him hunt for it, I looked around a while. I didn't find it, and I just made up my mind he was one of them circus sharpers and calculated I'd fool him, and by gosh, I did. When he wasn't looking, I pulled $10 bill out of my pocket and gave it to him, and he don't know yet but what it's the same one he lost. Gosh, I just fooled him out of his $2 flickering a whistle.
All right. All right, all right. Yeah, well, that's comedy, you know? I mean, that's comedy the way it was. I mean, were people more easily entertained? Or were the times simpler? Maybe a combination of both. I don't know. Well, I've played around with it for years with my son. We'll be driving or doing something, and I'll see something, and I'll launch into how Uncle Josh would approach it. You know, it'd be like something like, "Well, I tell you, I was on, I got one of them there laptop computers, and I went on the Facebook, and I was there with Aunt Mary, and I was looking at my, I was saying, 'Where's my face on this book? It ain't no book, it's a screen.' She said, 'No, Facebook is a place where you can meet people.' I said, 'Well, I go down to Pumpkin Center, and I go down to town, and I meet people. How am I don't see no people there?' She said, 'No, you go on there, and you chat with people, and you friend them.' I said, 'Well, I got enough friends, too many. They're always asking me for favors, like to raise the roof on their barn, or maybe help them pitch some hay. I don't want no more friends.' She said, 'No, you could PM them.' I said, 'PM? In the PM, I'm going to bed, and in the AM, I'm drinking my coffee. So don't bother me with any of that book face. I don't want nothing to do with it.'" So we sort of will riff on stuff like that. That's how we keep ourselves amused. So I guess maybe it's the way they kept themselves amused back then, too. Speaking of being amused, another amusing gentleman is Mr. Nat Wills, born Lewis McGrath Willis. Oh, Wills, in Fredericksburg, Virginia, in 1873. Early vaudeville and recording artist. And he had a tramp persona. Not the country bumpkin, tramp persona, that he played very well, and performing many satirical numbers and parodies during the day. One of his big ones was the Old Oaken Bucket, So let's hear this Victor record from 1908.
Many a day since I had a drink from that bucket. But speaking about drinking, it reminds me. One day last week, I had 3 cents. And I wanted to drink a whiskey. I was up the part of the town where they don't sell anything but 15-cent whiskey. And there I was, 3 strong. But I was determined to get a drink. I looked into a saloon. There's a man standing up against the bar, and he had just about half filled his glass with booze. So I went up and tapped him on the shoulder, gently. I said, I beg your pardon, sir, but I'll bet you 3 cents I can put that drink of whiskey in my stomach without it going down my throat. He says, I'll bet you. He put up his 3. I put up my 3. I drank down the drink of whiskey. I says, I'll lose. By golly, I was willing to lose. The bartender called me over and he says, you're all right. He says, come on, have a smile with me. He put the glass and bottle over and I filled the glass up until it was floating. Drank it down. The bartender says, is that what you call a smile? I said, yes. He says, well, if you have a laugh, I'll have to go out of business. I'll now sing you about the old oaken bucket. All right, boys. Last summer I thought I would go to the country to spend my vacation. I needed a rest. One morning I went to the well for some water. They told me that drinking well water was best. I had a red patch on the seat of my trousers, and when I leaned over, exposed it to view, a bull who was grazing at the red patch stood gazing. Now in such a case, what would any bull do? With his horns he did suck it, that red patch, he struck it. I went down with the bucket and hung in the well.
Oh, man. That song, as a parody, is ripe for parody. You know, those last few lines, you know, you can do stuff with that. On your own time, you know, we're keeping it clean here. But, you know, there's a fantastic CD set, I think, called, what offenses? Something offenses. I'll look it up in a few minutes. But Uncle Josh, Cal Stewart, and Nat Wills, and a few other artists made some really dirty records. I mean, they were downright dirty. They were dirty stories that they recorded. They were never released commercially. They were internal kind of things. But, I'll get that name for you in a few minutes. Really great, fun stuff. But you think that we had dirty minds today? Oh, you ain't heard nothing yet. Well, let's stay clean right now and hear a lovely little instrumental by Mr. Samuel Siegel, the mandolinist. On a 1909 Columbia record, this is called Sugar Plum. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Nice little, literally solo on the mandolin there. Interesting to hear the approach to the mandolin during this period. Still very much the Italian style, but this is slightly moving away from it. It had some harp guitar accompaniment by R.H. Butin, B-U-T-I-N. Harp guitar is a regular guitar, but it has a series of strings that are not fretted for playing bass notes. So, nice combination there of instruments. And Samuel Siegel, one of the first artists to popularize the mandolin on record. And speaking of popularizing instruments, Pietro Diero was one of the most influential accordionists, for sure, along with his brother Guido, both of them early stars of the vaudeville circuit. And yeah, he definitely did a lot to make the instrument very popular. And we're going to hear a really beautiful record now, played by Pietro's Accordion Quartet. It's a piece from Cavalleria Rusticana. It's an opera. And just really a lot of subtle beauty to this record. You know, people say all sorts of things about the gramophone and the Victrola, about the noise. But there's so much great music from this period. And what I suggest is turn your filter up a little bit. Hear through the noise, and you'll hear the pure beauty of a record like this. Ooh, I love that record. Love it. I have another version of that on a cylinder which I believe is played on the zither. It might be a zither trio. Man, I got to dig that one out. Another beauty. All this and more here on the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Mac, here every week bringing you the gramophone and the phonograph. No phonograph tonight, just the gramophone. What's the difference, you ask? Well, back then, the gramophone was the disc player and the phonograph was the cylinder player. And Victor made the Victor talking machine. It didn't really couldn't legally be called a gramophone because of a bunch of legal snafus in the system. But here I am with them, cranking it up, giving your ears a taste of the sound of these machines. As a listener from 1920, 1910, and earlier sometimes. Yeah, that's what the show's all about. And that's what I'm doing. And now we're going to continue with some bluesy and some jazzy stuff. Going to start off with Mr. George Williams and Miss Bessie Brown here on a Columbia record with cornet, trombone, and piano accompaniment. The song is entitled, "When You Go Hunting, I'm Going Fishing." Gotta put a new needle in. 1 second. Okay.
Nothing else but what your fire was.
Mm-hmm. Nice one there. Oh, yeah. On the Columbia Race label. It was from 1924. This is the 1400 series. You know, there's a great online 78 RPM database called 78discography.com. And as I'm doing the live Accu playlist, looking that up and looking at that series, man, killer series of records. Just Bessie Smith, Mamie Smith, not Mamie Smith, sorry, Clara Smith. So many great blues artists of the period. Just wish I could find a big box of new old stock Columbia 1400 race series records for playing. As you know, collecting 78s based on value has become pretty big. And the big ones are the Black Patty records. I think they made about 28 of them. Any of them will go for about $5,000 to $10,000 each, depending on the title you got. But a lot of money. Yeah. And sort of hear stories about people finding them under people's beds and so on. Takes years to find stuff good on 78. I get people contacting me. I'm ready to get into collecting 78s and machines. Where do I go? And my basic advice is, okay, you've made your mind up, but there's really not anywhere to go. Making your mind up is the first step. The next step is raising your consciousness as to where you might find stuff. And you go out there and start looking around. You come to a flea market. You see a horn phonograph. Oh, my God, I'm going to buy it. You end up taking it home, but it turns out to be a crapophone. What's a crapophone, you ask? Crapophones are machines that are currently being made in India and China, exported here, sold as antiques, but really they're poorly constructed machines made of a hodgepodge of parts. And the thing really doesn't work. It barely will play a record, but enough to fool somebody who doesn't know. So it takes a lot of research to become knowledgeable. And then where do you find the records? Well, little by little. You got to be out there mixing it up. Yard sales, flea markets, antique stores, record shows. It's a little by little hobby. It's not something you really get into. Maybe you'll get lucky and, well, this doesn't really sound lucky for the person who died, but sometimes someone passes away and you get the opportunity to acquire a lot all at once. And that could be good, but the hunt is really what it's all about. At least it used to be. I mean, hunting on eBay ain't the same thing as going out and wondering what you're going to find in the next garage. So, and what I suggest to people also is I have a group on Facebook called Antique Phonograph Enthusiasts. And it has members there that are super experts and novices. It's open to everyone who wants to get more information about gramophones and phonographs. And what people will do sometimes is they'll be in a store and or at a flea market and they'll snap a picture and post it to the page and say, I'm seeing this. Can anyone tell me if it's authentic or not? And within 5 minutes, they'll have 10 responses about its authenticity and what it is and what they think its value is. So immediately you get feedback on the thing. So that's one of the things about the book face that really is helpful for folks and collecting. So I encourage you to join my group called Antique Phonograph Enthusiasts on that there book face thingy doodad. Okay, going to continue now with some more jazz, or is it blues, from the great Mamie Smith and her Jazz Hounds. Wonderful 1920 OK record. If You Don't Want Me, Blues.
Thank you.
I was wondering if that record was poorly recorded or just extremely worn. I'm looking at it. It looks like it could just be very worn, like a lot of it is just worn away, which happens to these records. Listen, if you play a shellac disc from the period on a Victrola with a new needle each time, you're going to be fine. People say, oh, it's going to wear out the records. You're destroying them playing each time. But you really don't. Because actually, the needle is softer than the record. And the way these machines work is the record is a composite of shellac, which is the exoskeleton shed from the lac beetle. They melt that down, throw in coal dust to make it black, and some pumice, which is a very light abrasive. Now, the needle is made of a very soft steel. So what happens is as soon as you drop the needle, or I should say gently place the needle in the groove, the record immediately starts wearing the needle into the groove for a nice fit, for a good sound. And that works well for about two plays. The record, the needle starts off as a point, but it soon gets worn down, as I explained. And after two records, it's looking more like a shovel instead of a point. Now it is starting to use those sharp edges to cut away more at the shellac. If you continue to use the same needle over and over, it will destroy the records. And I think a lot of people didn't know that. They did know it back in the day, but in between, hey, when I first got my first Victrola, I didn't know it. And I used to play records with the same needles over and over, spinning them around and say, oh, it sounds a little different. That sounded weird. Until someone told me, no, you play two records with a needle and throw it away. I was like, really? Okay. So it could be either someone didn't care for the needle changing properly, or perhaps they just loved it so much, they just played the hell out of it, which I sort of can believe the latter. Okay, let's continue now with the first group to be recognized for recording jazz music, the original Dixieland Jazz Band. Here they are on a Victor record from 1920 called Sweet Mama, Papa's Getting Mad. Ooh, it's a hot one.
Thank you.
All right. A little shout out there at the end. Like that. There was some more bands shouting out in the middle of that, I think, buried. I heard something like that. Oh, yeah. You know, you listen close, you hear all sorts of things in these records. That's why I play them, so we could hear them. I'm not cleaning them up for you. I'm not EQing them even. You're hearing them with all their glorious noise played on the Victrola. That's what I do. And that's what I'll be doing each week for you here. You know, folks, it's the 20th year anniversary of the show coming up on October. And generally planning a big to-do here at the station, looking to have a party in Monty Hall downstairs. There'll be more to come on that later, but I hope you all can make it, because, man, 20 years of cranking the Victrola, woo-wee, that's something. Okay, well, that's going to about do it for tonight. I'll be back next week with some more stuff. Just want to say you can follow me on Instagram. Lots of photos of gramophones and phonographs and me doing stuff out and about. Phonograph DJ Mac is the name. Phonograph DJ Mac. And yeah, tune in. And I'm really not tuning into anything there. Just go check it out. And yeah, that whole Instagram thing. I like riding both edges of technology, the lowest tech and some high tech. Not that Instagram's very high tech, but you know what I'm saying. I'm going to leave you now with a wonderful record by the Mitchell Brothers. They're Comedians with Banjos from 1924 on the Victor label. A tune called Too Tired. I'm not too tired, but I will be later. Never too tired to come in and do the show for you, though, folks. So until next week, this is your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, saying nighty-night, everybody.
For everything,
I'm just too tired.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and 91.9 FM in Rockland County, and WFMU.org.